Good morning all, and once again a very warm welcome to our Sunday service. And let's begin our worship today by bringing our praise and our thanks to our God, the King. Once again, thank you for all your contacts. Heard this week from Odette and Graham and Simon and Bev, from Peter, from Graham and Anne, from Andy and from Ken. Thank you, and please continue to keep in touch. Now we're going to turn to our Bibles now, to Luke chapter 11, and Simon and Bev are going to read this passage to us.
Today's reading is taken from Luke 11, verses 1 to 13, Jesus' teaching on prayer. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to see me, and I have nothing to set before him." Then the one inside answers, "Don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs.
So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Thank you, Simon and Bev, for that reading. And we continue looking at Jesus' teaching on what is true Christian prayer, what is the kind of prayer that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And last time we saw that Christian prayer is always to the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit, and with believers. And when we think of Christian prayer, we do remind ourselves of the wonder and the joy and the great privilege of belonging to God's family, to be able to come and to be welcomed by our Heavenly Father. But Christian prayer doesn't stop there, because Jesus encourages us, whenever we come to pray to our Heavenly Father, we should ask him each time that we come for these five things that we read about. Verse 2. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, and lead us not into temptation. So as Christians, we come to tell our Father that we need his help in all these things. We need his help to reverence his name each day. We tell him that his kingdom isn't ruling in our lives as it should. So often we find that my kingdom is still more important to me than God's kingdom. And even when I do make time to pray, it's often all about me and my wants, my needs, my problems, my issues. And so we ask our Father for his help. We ask him to help us to make us joyful and content with what I have. I need my Father to pardon me for my failures, to forgive me for the daily sin in my life and the things that I think and do and say that displease you, the Father. And I need you to protect me, Father, from the power of Satan, who will lead me astray. And we come because on our own we can't do any of those things, because we come as a little child. And Jesus says that's what Christian prayer is. It's all about those five things. True Christian prayer. It's all about the Father's name. It's all about his kingdom coming. Provision for my needs. Forgiveness for sin. And protection against falling into temptation. And there's something else here, because we note that everything that Jesus says about Christian prayer, he says in the plural. Give us. Forgive us. Lead us not into temptation. And Jesus is underlining that true Christian prayer should never be all about me. He says that when you do come to your Father to speak to him about your needs, which we should bring our needs to him, we should also be aware of the needs of the Christian family that you and I belong to. And we should spend as much time, if not more time, praying for their needs, for the worldwide Christian family. And as we pray for ourselves, we remember that others will have the same needs, the same problems, the same pains, the same joys as we do. But then, in verses 9 and 10, we read, Jesus says, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Jesus says regarding this asking in prayer, the Christian should not be an occasional prayer. Shouldn't be like the hypocrites who only ever come to pray when they're in trouble. Shouldn't be just something we do occasionally. We should ask and keep on asking. We should seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. True Christian prayer to our Father doesn't give up because there seems to be no immediate answer. God will answer. He will give us the things we need in line with his own kingdom purposes. So don't go astray here thinking that the Christian is bound to get anything and everything that he or she asks for as long as you've got enough faith to believe. No, it's not that at all. You remember that the Lord Jesus himself, in his human nature, asked the Father to take the cup of God's wrath from him, but then added, not my will, but your will. It's your kingdom that counts. God's promise to his children is that if you keep on asking, he will give you the things you need regarding those five prayer art items. Reverence for his name, promises to give you reverence for his name. If you are serious in your asking, if you don't give up, if it is so important to you that you say to God, I need to have that reverence for your name. I need to desire that your kingdom will come, your kingdom purposes will be working through my life, and I'm not going to go away, Father, until you give it to me. And the Father promises that prayers like that he will always answer. And praying persistently doesn't necessarily mean long prayers. Nothing wrong with long prayers, of course, but persistent prayer is not necessarily a long prayer. It's much more that you pray each day, that you never give up, that you never miss. And not only that you pray each day, but that you pray through each day. Every opportunity that you have to say thank you, every opportunity that comes your way to ask for God's help, every opportunity to ask that God will give you the words to say we pray every day and through each day. I suppose for some, question comes into our mind, why has God designed Christian prayer in that way? Why doesn't he just give us everything that we ask for? Isn't it cruel of God to seemingly keep us waiting sometimes for years? Well, we know that God isn't a reluctant prayer answering God. We know that. We know he isn't a reluctant giver to his children. So there must be a reason that true Christian prayer is designed, that the prayer, the Christian must keep on asking. Persistence is at the heart of true Christian prayer because we need to learn that dependence upon God, that trust in him, that reliance on him. We need to learn about what really matters to God, and to learn it in such a way that those things that matter to God become to matter to us too. That honour for God's name really matters to him. It really matters to him. And that we've got to ask for his help and keep on praying that it will start to really matter to us too. To see God's kingdom come in people's lives. And again, as we continue to pray for that, it will become more important to us. God is all the time looking for those who really mean business with him. There's a great verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. It's a great verse to memorize. And it says, "The eyes of the Lord move to and fro over all the earth, looking for those whose hearts are fully committed to him." As the eyes of the Lord look over all his children, what he's looking for is that serious commitment, fully committed to him, to keep on and to never give up. Now, in verses 5 to 8, Jesus brings this story about the neighbour who comes asking for bread. And in this story, we remember that in those days there was no electric lighting, and oil for the lamps was very expensive, so once it was dark, it soon became bedtime. And it's with that kind of background that Jesus says, "At midnight, the whole family's been asleep for hours. Suddenly comes this banging and shouting." And the instinct of the house owner is just to say, "Go away." But in the story, Jesus says, because of the neighbor's persistence, that he won't give up, that he's not going to go away. His neighbour does, friend does get up and gives the bread. And the point of the story is very simple. As we've noted already, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will open. We have to make sure we don't misunderstand Jesus' point here. He's not saying that God is reluctant to answer our prayer. But Jesus is saying that when it comes to Christian prayer, that God is looking for those who keep on asking, who won't give up. That's the way that God teaches us dependence and trust in him. Just because we've prayed a few times about something, nothing seems to have happened, we show our Lord, our God, our Father, how serious we are, and we don't give up. And then often, little by little, the things we need begin to grow in our lives. And in those opening verses, Jesus tells us those things that matter to God, that God wants to give us. But it's only through persistent prayer, persistent asking, will those things really begin to be important to us. And that's what God is looking for in your heart and mine. Now, I have to say to you, of course, that there's no blank check thing here, that you just have to ask for anything and it's yours. The guarantee that Jesus speaks about is that if the Christian prays for the things that matter to God and keeps on asking, God promises to answer that prayer for everyone who asks in that way. And so finally, in the closing verses, verses 10 to the end, Jesus speaks about being confident that when we come to our Heavenly Father, we come knowing that he hears us. Whatever way God answers our prayer, we can be confident that it is for our good. And Jesus says something interesting here, verse 13. He says, "If you being evil," and that's Jesus himself repudiating the wildly held belief that at the heart of all of us, we're good. "Absolutely not," says Jesus. "At the heart of everyone, you find evil. We're evil." And so Jesus says, even evil people give good gifts to their children. So how much more will a pure, a holy, loving, good God give you the very best of gifts? So God will be good to you. That's his promise. If you're one of his children, and you can take that promise to the bank. But what is it that's the best that God can give to you? And you find it there in that verse 13. Let me read it to you. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So, what's the best that God can give to you? He gives himself. God, the Holy Spirit, he gives himself the best gift that you can ever receive. God comes to dwell and live in your heart. Christian prayer is such a wonderful privilege. No wonder that Satan trembles when he sees even the weakest saint upon their knees. So, Father, thank you for being so good to us. Please help us to learn more from Jesus about the kind of prayer you desire from your children. Help us as we seek to learn these things, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, last week, no one got the answer right. Had two answers that were half of the correct answer, only half right. You remember the question, how did Gideon destroy the altar to Baal? And the answer was that God told him to take 2 7-year-old bulls to pull down the altar, and then one of those bulls was to be sacrificed to the Lord God. And just a word of explanation, in case some of you might think that I have all this kind of quiz knowledge in my head. Well, absolutely not. I get these questions as I do my reading through the Bible in a year. Each year I read through the Bible, and so as I come across something, I jot it down and bring it to you as a question. So don't ever enter me for a Bible quiz. I'm pretty useless on information like that from the Bible. But having said all that, I mention it to you because at the moment in my reading, I'm reading through Romans and into Corinthians, which of course is full of deep theological truth and questions not easy to find in all of that, and so I'm coming to a halt for the moment, no question this week, when I come across something, we'll restart the questions. Now, our closing song helps us to know that the words of Jesus, although from long ago, are God's holy words that come from the Father's own heart.
With God's own heart, oh, let the ancient